of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow, abides with me. And there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides. Abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me.
God bless you, God bless you. You know, it's a joy to come to you with this telecast, broadcast. I mean, radio, internet, Facebook. Last week we missed Facebook because they had changed their codes, and we had to get the right ones put in. We don't know until we find out, but we're back and we're here, and oh, what a joy. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Can you get that? Can you hear that with me? Nothing but the blood. Or eternal hellfire. Isn't that horrible to have to say? Is that that's nothing but the blood can wash you and save you and make a new creature out of you. You won't just believe on the blood. You've got to be washed in the blood. The blood is a force of grace and virtue and power from the throne room of God through Jesus Christ's death that washes the man, washes the whole being, washes the mind, washes the heart, washes the hands, washes the feet, washes your whole being, makes a new creature out of you. Transforms you, changes you, gets you ready to go to heaven, because the only folks in heaven are godly people, righteous people, cleaned up from the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's a very simple gospel. It really is. There's no reason for anybody on the face of God's earth to be eternally lost. You don't have to spend eternity in hellfire. If you do it, you do it because you have chose to do it. because you will not go to that blood, that washing, that cleansing of the blood. And I just bring you this out of the bottom of my heart today. I know nothing else I desire but to bring you this out of the bottom of my heart, out of the heart of a man who is given to your king, to his kingdom, and for you and for your families and for people all over this globe. I have a passion for the lost. I don't want you to spend eternity in hellfire. It's horrible to even to think about. Now, let's think about the blood. Let's really understand the blood. Are you ready? Are you ready to go right in the Bible? Not my opinion, not anybody else's opinion, but the Bible. What did Jesus preach? What did Jesus teach? What was his message? And what would he have me to bring you as a God-called minister? Now, the blood is the only offering that's ever been made before God that is capable of washing a sinner. I don't care how rough he is, how damnable he is, how dark his lifestyle is, what a person he may have lived like. I'm here to tell you the blood can wash a man, a woman, boy, a girl, absolutely as white as snow. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So God wants to make a new creature out of you, a new person out of you. And this man here, sitting here, Brother Joe Chambers, wants to help you find the cleansing of that blood. It stretches all the way from Genesis in your Bible to the book of Revelation at the other end of your Bible. It stretches from the entire beginning to the end, 66 books, and every one of them is built on the power and virtue of the blood. Every one of them built, I mean established on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it is the theme of the Bible. It really is. Anybody that knows the Bible knows that the blood is the theme of the Bible. It just lives in the pages. It is a crimson book. It is a crimson book. You hear me now. The Bible is a crimson book. It is washed. It is empowered. It is anointed. It is saturated with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, a little bit, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, and we're going to get some picture of the blood that's not enough preaching about today. I go a lot of places to hear sermons, and I hear very little about the blood. If a preacher doesn't preach the blood and the gospel message of saving grace, he's not much of a preacher, and he's not worth his weight in salt. I'm here to tell you, I don't mean to be blunt, but I'm just telling you that the blood alone is the power that saves. The blood alone is the power that saves. And I want you saved. I don't want you lost. I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. You know, even the Father could not walk into the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve had sinned and cover them just by saying, come out of there. He had to offer a sacrifice, had to kill an animal. The first blood ever shed was shed by the Father who shed blood in that garden. And it was a token of a future event called Calvary. And the blood of that animal that God slew in the garden became the means of a coat that Adam and Eve could wear and could come out of hiding and come out where God was. Now, if God couldn't walk into that garden and call Adam and Eve, just come on out, he had to kill an animal and shed the blood and make a coat, then how do you think any other sermon today is sufficient without the blood? I mean, you cannot get by without the blood, my brothers and sisters. It's got to be from one side of this globe to the other, from the North Pole to the South Pole, all over the Asian countries, the African countries, the European countries, the Chinese countries, the South America, the South Africa. It doesn't matter where you live. The blood alone can wash you and make you clean. Now, if the blood makes you clean, you can't continue to be unclean. Somebody says, well, I'm not living very good, but I'm covered with the blood. The blood don't cover sin. The blood removes sin. The blood washes sin. Remember that. The blood does not remove sin just by some power of strength. It washes. It has to wash. It has to cleanse. It has to do a cleansing work. The Bible makes it plain. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't just believe on it. You can believe on it and be lost forever. Are you listening to me? You can believe on the blood and be lost forever. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be born again. Jesus is the one who said that you must be born again. He was saying exactly what I'm saying. The blood has got to wash you and take away your guilt and your sins and make a new creature out of you. And I'm coming to you with the heart of a man that loves you and that cares about this great gospel message. Please listen to me. Now, the blood, if it was going to do this work that we know it does, it had to be divine blood. It couldn't be just be the blood of a good rabbi, Jewish rabbi. It couldn't just be the blood of a precious young man born of a very precious virgin lady. It had to be the blood of a divine being. The blood had to come from the Father. It had to be injected into the womb of a Mother Mary so that the child born of her would be divine with the blood of divinity, not the blood of Adam. The blood of Adam in Jesus would have made him no more than any other Jewish man. But the blood divine, by the very invasion of the Holy Spirit into Mary's being, her very life, and the planting of that seed in her womb, made Jesus a divine being. He was divine, absolutely divine. He existed in a human body. So it was a divine Savior in a human body. The body of Jesus doesn't save you. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you. Now, the divine soul of Jesus is a saving agent and power, but not the flesh. It was the person, the inner person. Hallelujah. God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. Jesus was a living soul, but it was a divine soul. Hallelujah. And his blood washes and his body, his soul was divine. What a picture. So the blood had to be divine if it would be capable of removing sin. You think of a world full of 7 billion plus now and billions that have gone on. The blood washes, has the capacity, I should say it, to wash every one of them. Nobody excluded. There is no such thing as limited atonement. That's the worst doctrine ever conceived by some theological person. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to save any one of you. And don't you let nobody tell you different. You don't have to go to hell. If you go to hell and spend eternity in that lake of fire, it'll be a choice you make. Because the blood is sufficient to wash you and to save you. The Son of God was divine. He was God in a human body. He was divine. He was God in a human body, a member of the triune Godhead. Come out of eternity into human space. Come out of the realm of God into a human environment. He came down from heaven. He was in heaven. He is eternal. The Bible makes it plain that Jesus was forever. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He said, I am, I was, I am to come. He is the great I am. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Divine, the Son of God, the risen one who died on a cross, but he couldn't die until he was ready to die. They wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him. His body was just so torn apart. I hope you saw the picture on Facebook of Jesus. If you didn't see him hanging on the cross, I mean, he looked like a bloody, bloody mess. It was a vicious death. But the picture doesn't even do it justice because they whipped him until his flesh hung off like rags of his body. Let me read to you what Isaiah said in prophecy. As many were astonished at thee, as many were astonished at thee, his visage, you know what the visage is, that's the human frame. The visage, his visage was so marred more than any man. God said in the Bible that no man has ever been whipped and beaten and marred. No vestige of a human being has ever been so mutilated as it was in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His body was the most whipped, the most beaten, the most defaced, the most critically wounded. His vestige was more marred than any man. The Bible says it. Now go to Isaiah 52, verse 14, if you want to look it up in the Bible, the King James Bible. As many were astonished, so that his vestige was so marred more than any man, and his frame or form more than the sons of men. Never been a man whipped like he was whipped. Never been a person. I sat here at my desk just less than an hour ago, looked at that picture that I put on Facebook, and I sat here with tears coming down my cheeks, weeping for the sorrow and the shame that my Savior bore in my behalf, that I might not have to go to hell, that I might not have to live in sin and be a vicious fornicator, adulterer, sodomite, a thief, murderer, whatever the capacity of human flesh, and it's immeasurable. The flesh can descend so low and so deep and so profoundly ungodly and just absolutely become nothing but a horrible mess because of sin. But Jesus is able to wash it all away and make a new creature out of you. You say, I'm a mess, Brother Chambers. Well, then get on your knees and come to Calvary and let the blood wash you and cleanse you and make a new creature out of you. Are you listening to me? I hope you are, because I'm here to tell you some wonderful things. When you begin to think about that divine blood, absolutely divine. Did you know theologians have argued over whether or not the blood was divine? Now, if a theologian could be that duped, I mean, I'm talking about duped. How duped can you get? If you don't think the blood was divine, you've really been duped, terribly so. The blood is divine, was divine, is content. Did you know that blood exists right now? The blood of Jesus exists right now. It's on the altar in the temple in heaven. That blood is on the altar in the temple in heaven. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you go in your book of Revelation and you go over where Jesus gets on a white horse and descends back down to this earth where he will reign 1,000 years on this earth. And notice something with me. When he leaves heaven, his garment has been dipped in blood. Now, there's no way that ever any blood has been shed up in heaven. There is no blood in heaven. You can find no reference of that. You can find no understanding of that. There is no blood in heaven, but the one man's blood, the Son of God's blood, is on the altar in heaven. And Jesus takes his cape before he gets on that white horse and dips it in the blood on that sacred altar in the temple in heaven. And he puts that coat on. And he descends with a garment deep, what's the word? I'm not sure here. A garment that has been soaked in that blood. And people argue with me, they say the garment that Jesus wore with blood was because of his battle when he came down to the earth. But no, he left heaven with that garment, that cape on. And it was dipped in blood when he left heaven. It has no possibility of any blood but his blood. His blood on the altar in heaven, that altar in there in that sanctuary, is an altar that represents that altar in heaven. We are an extension. Our altars are an extension. You notice churches today are taking altars out of the churches? You wonder why they're doing that? They're doing that because of the Antichrist. The Antichrist hates an altar because that altar is a representative of that blood that's on the altar in heaven. In heaven. If your church don't have an altar, you go to your pastor and say, my dear pastor, either there has to be an altar brought back in this church or I'm leaving here. I ain't staying in a church that doesn't have an altar. And I believe that. I believe that with everything in me. And now that probably upsets some preachers. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm glad. I'm here to represent the truth. I'm not here to play around with theological debates. I'm here to just tell you what the book says. And Jesus puts that cape of his, he dips it in blood and wears it when he comes out of heaven and comes back to this earth. Because when he comes back to this earth, friend, I'm telling you, he's coming to clean up every bit of the smut, every bit of the garbage, every bit of the gloom, every bit of the brokenness, all the wickedness, all the ungodliness. He comes to clean it up, and he comes wearing a cape dipped in blood, his blood, the blood of the cross. Ooh, you say, Brother Chambers, I'm bringing you the Bible, and it's very simple. How could you argue with it? I'm not one that gives you things that you can argue with if I know it. I just go straight to the book and give you what the book says. So you can depend upon it that Jesus will come back from heaven wearing a cape dipped in his own blood, because he comes back to redeem. And go to the book of Revelation. All through the book of Revelation, the blood, the blood, the blood. I mean, it's the answer. It's the answer. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. I'm trying my best to bring you to the happiness of what I'm saying. You can be washed in the blood right now. You can be washed in the blood right now. Let me read to you before I go to Hebrews. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and was and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. What a passage of Scripture. And it's the Bible. It's the infallible book. It's the holy word of the living God. The holy word of the living God. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews 9. Let me open the lines for you. I would love to answer any question about the blood. Our phones are open. Four lines. Oh, man, I'm regressing here a little bit. Four lines, 704-391-0588. That's all you need to dial, 704-391-0588. Dial it, and I will take your call on the air. They will hear you and me, and we'll talk about any question you have concerning the blood. I'm trying to bring you a picture of the blood. And Jesus, remember, when they came to the garden on the morning of the resurrection, he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God." And yet that Eden, sometime late in the evening, he appeared to his disciples and was back. So he had been to heaven. Why did he go to heaven on the morning of his resurrection? He went to heaven to take that blood offering that he had given there at Calvary and to place it on that altar in the heavenly temple. And it's been there ever since. And when he is at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor, the blood is right there to represent his death. There's never a question in heaven of did he really die. There's no angels running around saying, "Did he really die?" Well, if you don't believe it, go over there to the temple. You'll see the blood. It's throbbing with life right there on the altar, still doing everything it was intended to do, washing you from your sins, washing you from your iniquity, making a new man or woman out of you, and changing your life. That blood is precious blood. Have you ever sung that song, "Precious Blood"? It is indeed divine. It is precious. It is omnipotent. It is omniscient. It is omnipresent. It is mighty. Right now, right here on the face of this earth, anywhere you are, you can get on your knees and repent of your sins and call on the Father in the name of Jesus. And that blood can do its work in the darkest jungle of Africa. That blood can do its work in the northern expanse of Russia. That blood can do its work in South America, in Australia, in New Zealand. There's nowhere that blood cannot do its work right now while I talk to you on this internet this Facebook, this radio signal. I'm just trying to tell you that the blood is still the mighty blood. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you it's still the mighty blood. It really is. Now, let's go over here in Hebrews and let's get a little understanding. Now, you need to stop some of the things you're doing and listen thoroughly. You know, this will be of course, archived right here on Facebook. It'll be archived on the internet. It'll be available here in our office on audio. It'll be available on Facebook. It's archived on Facebook. I may have said that. And you can call your friend right now. You ought to share it with somebody. Everybody out there ought to share this on Facebook with everybody you have on your list of friends. They need to hear this. I've got nearly 5,000 friends. I believe I've got 1,000 and some followers. I can't keep up with it. I don't have time to answer all the phone calls that come through it to save my life. I've had other people to try to help me, and they said it's over my head. I can't answer all these people. So you having to listen to me on Facebook and internet. Go to internet during the week. If you don't have Facebook in your home, you're looking at it on somebody else's computer or some little, you can get it on this. I listen to it wherever I go to check on things. You can get it anywhere in the world on that little device. How do you believe that happens? God's mighty big, isn't he? That this signal can go into Australia and then pick up a little cell phone that's got the right capacity and they can hear this program. Not just now, but later today. That's why you need to share it. When you share it, they'll not only have it for now, they'll have it for later. Okay, so please share it, everybody. Let's have about 100 right now to click on share. Maybe 200, maybe 300, maybe 400. I don't know. Share it. Quickly do it. Everybody. I'm waiting on you. Share it. I want to continue, but I want you to share this because the world needs to hear the story about the blood. The world needs to hear the truth about the blood. The world needs to see those words, and I hate to put them back up. I really do, but I got to. It's nothing but the blood or hellfire forever. It's nothing but the blood or hellfire forever. Are you listening to me? It's nothing but the blood or hellfire forever. And I beg of you, don't wait any longer. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Christ. Well, let's go to this in the Hebrews 9 and 19. Hebrews 9, 19. And when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now he took the blood of these animals and with hyssop, with wool, he sprinkled the blood upon all the people and upon all the book. And it goes on to say, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God hath enjoined unto you. So this was the blood that was offering of animals that was a type. The power in this blood was the typology of the Christ that it represented. That blood would have done nothing had it not been for the future promise that God would send his son and he would come down here and he would die on the cross for people. So you understand, this is the sprinkling of the blood that was offered for the people, enjoined of God. It was God who commanded this. It was not man. It was not Moses. It was God. And you say, Brother Chambers, now I don't understand that. You're saying that they were saved by the sprinkling of the blood. Yes, yes, they were. But remember what David said in the book of Acts? He said he had to go into hell and wait there. See, all the Old Testament believers, every last one of them except two that bypassed all of this, and that, as you know, was Elijah and Enoch. They bypassed it, and Moses may have. That's a debatable one. But they bypassed it, and they went straight to God. But the rest didn't go straight to God. They went into the earth in a place called Abraham's bosom. Jesus called it paradise when he was on the cross and said to the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He saved him. Now, in paradise, in the heart of the earth, was all of these Old Testament saints that the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, had covered. It covered their sins. It didn't cleanse their sins. It covered their sins. Now, in the New Testament, it cleanses sin. In the Old Testament, it covered, because there had to be a new offering every year in the temple, because it did not eliminate sin. It simply covered over their sins and gave them the responsibility of keeping the laws of God. Now, all those people in that Old Testament until Jesus died on the cross was in what is called Abraham's bosom, in the heart of the earth. But when Jesus died, remember, he descended into the heart of the earth. Now, why did he go down there? To meet all those Old Testament saints that had offered the sacrifices and had been sprinkled by the blood and had gone through the processes of Old Testament redemption, and they were there waiting on him. Oh, I'm having a little trouble here. This is over my head. When Jesus arrived down in paradise, Abraham's bosom, and they must have heard those doors jingle when he opened the doors of paradise with the keys that only the blood of his cross could have atoned for. And he opened that door and went in where this multitude of Old Testament saints, and you can imagine the hooping and hollering, the screaming, the crying, oh, he's here, the Redeemer, the Majestic One has arrived, the great Son of the Morning is here, and we're being redeemed. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, preaching to all that great multitude of Old Testament saints, 4,000 years of them, and he preached to them. They trusted in him. They'd already trusted in the blood that had been sprinkled. Remember the man that Jesus told about who died, went to hell, the rich man, and the beggar was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man somehow realized that the beggar that sat at his gate was in Abraham's bosom, and he said to the Lord, send Abraham, or to the person, send the rich man, let him dip his finger in water and cool my parching tongue. See, that's why the beggar was in Abraham's bosom. The beggar was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man was in hell. Jesus told that story. You don't believe in it, then you don't believe in Jesus, so don't be a hypocrite about it. Let's go on and get you some other kind of religion if you're not going to follow the blood, because that's the only thing in the Christian realm that will wash away sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's too big for me. Man, I want to shout hallelujah. I want to hoop and holler when I get a hold of something like this. Now, the lines are open. You don't believe in something I've said, let me give you the proof. I mean, I'll be glad. I don't preach things that I don't know. I've dug. I've been saved 67 years. I've been pastoring 62. I've been on this particular radio program now, of course, internet and Facebook and all of the other things. I've been on it 45 years, and I've sat here week after week, year after year, 45 years. I've got people all over this area only know me because they know my voice. I can be standing in a line at a grocery store, and somebody will turn around and say, I recognize that voice. Are you Joe Chambers? Well, I've been listening to you. I was in a business some time ago. I've been listening to you for years, and we'd never met. Well, I've got many of them all over the Charlotte area and all around the areas here, and many that moved on to other places. I met a man up yesterday in a grocery store, and he grabbed me and said, Brother Chambers, I got to have a picture with you. I got to send it. And he gave me the name of some person that remembers way back years ago, came to this school maybe 40 years ago. And he said, they ask me about you all the time, and I want to send them a picture of me and you right here in this food line store. And he did that yesterday. That was a thrill to me. I got friends everywhere, and I got enemies everywhere. I'm sorry. I've just always been so truthful that I either make friends or enemies, and that's really what a man of God ought to be. He ought to either make a friend out of you, or you ought to be bothered by he's telling you the truth, and you don't want to hear it. You know, that's the truth. They don't hate me. They just hate the truth. I mean, I don't have enemies. The truth has enemies. I just happen to be in between the two, you know, and I'm going to stay there till that trumpet sounds or till Jesus takes me home to heaven. And don't get all excited about me dying real quick. He's just renewed my healing and health, and I feel like I got 20 more years if he tarries. I may not have that many, and it's okay with me. I'm not going to fuss if he takes me tomorrow. There supposedly was a prophecy a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, that I'd be dead before our camp meeting this year. I don't feel it a bit. If you see any death in my face, then you just call me and tell me about it, because I don't see any when I look in the mirror. Let me go on. Get off of that. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood and without. Now notice, this is a text of the Bible. This is 22 of Hebrews 9. You got to write this down. Hebrews 9, 22. And almost all things are purged by the blood. Almost all things are by the blood purged. He says it that way. With blood and without. Now notice this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There can be no remission. You know what that word remission means? That's forgiveness. That's remission, the cleansing, not just forgiveness, but the renewing, the cleansing of blood. So we are cleansed by the blood. And without it, there is no cleansing. And all sin goes to hell. You understand? All sin goes to hell. Well, I meant to remove that over my head and forgot to, because I want you to know, without the shedding of blood, there is eternal hellfire awaiting you, and you can be saved right now. You can be saved right now. The blood is sufficient anywhere on the face of this human globe. The blood is sufficient to save. Let me read on. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purged with these, but the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. It was God's will that in the earthly, the human tabernacle, the wilderness and the new temple in Jerusalem, and all of that sacrifice, everything from the laws of Moses, everything from the Torah, every bit of it was a type, was a pattern of something already designed in heaven. See, this blood offering is not a new thing. Jesus was crucified, the Bible said, from the foundation of the world. Did you know that? Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. God the Father created the human man, gave him a right of choice. And somehow in the heart of God, he could know understanding that they would reject him. And that they would do their own thing. And there would be a bloodthirsty, hard-headed, bull-headed people. And they'd do their own thing, go their own way. And so God designed from the beginning of the human earth and family that his son would be the sacrifice to redeem it all. God had it in his heart to give and to make manifest the sacrifice of his son. You understand that? I mean, what a God we serve. Go anywhere and study any religion you want to. You'll never find a religion where the God of that religion had a son and had it all in his heart to offer that son as a sacrifice for these people whom he loved. So when you preach the love of God anywhere on the earth, you can say this God who loved you so much that he planned, it was in his great mind to offer his son on the day of necessity as a redemption of human sin. And so he is the Redeemer. And it was a pattern. See, now I've got to read that again. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. See, the sacrifice in Moses' law was not sufficient. It was inadequate. It was planned and prepared as a token in advance to offer man a way out of his hellish bondage and to let those Old Testament people have a way to serve God and to live for God. And so they could do it with this offering. Only in this offering. But Christ is not entered into the tabernacle, the place made with hands. That was all by hands. That was all by human design. That was all the work of men. But now Jesus, oh great God Jehovah, now Jesus, the eternal one. But Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now, in the to appear in the presence of God. See, this is Paul telling us, preaching Jesus, and telling these Jewish believers and Jewish people, hey, all of this that you had was a type, was a pattern, but the pattern is in heaven. The real pattern, the eternal pattern is in heaven. And all of this was temporary. It was not sufficient as was necessary. But now Jesus has died on the cross. And now Jesus has appeared in heaven. And he's up there representing all of this that this great sacrifice of the cross is about. Did you know he's the intercessor right now before the Father? And did you know when you get in need that Jesus will stand up with that blood right there on the altar in front of him and plead your cause before the Father? I mean, he will do it. He will do it. Now, any calls coming in, I'll try to take some for the next 22 minutes. So grab your phone. I want some questions about all of this. This is so magnificent. This is so breathtaking. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I'm just getting started. Time don't allow, you know, for all of this, but Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, into heaven itself. Do you understand? Jesus is at the Father's right hand, and this blood is on the altar, and Jesus is now with a glorified body. He is risen from the dead. He has a body that's now glorified, the first fruits of the eternal resurrection, the Bible calls it. The first one to come back from the grave and not just pass through death to die again, but to pass through death and rip all the hell out of death, rip all the death out of death. I mean, he defeated all of death. He defeated everything that death represents. And then he ascended to God the Father. And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. That pre-trib rapture, man, what a day that's going to be. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. If you're not living a godly life, you aren't going. I'm here to tell you, if you're not living a godly life for Christ, nor yet that he should offer himself often. See, that Old Testament sacrifice had to be offered often, but not Jesus. He doesn't have to be offered often. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Oh, But for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But listen, and as it is appointed with man unto death, but after death, judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Now, you got to hear this. Great day. This is bigger than me. You know, I get to preaching the Bible, and I always feel like it's bigger than I am, and I feel insufficient to say everything that needs to be said. But I got to read this verse. So Christ, Jesus Christ, was once offered. Get this now. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Why didn't he say all? Because all won't come to him. He paid the price for all. But he can only bear the sins of the many who are those who repent, who are those who come to him. Are you part of the many? Are you part of the all? Are you part of the many? Are you part of those who want to live for Christ and you want to live under the power of the blood and you want to serve the Lord? Are you a part of the all who have the opportunity and the privilege, but you don't have time for it? You love the world. You love sin. You love godless living. You love fornication. You love running around looking for whorish women. You love running around looking for whorish men. You may be involved in sodomy or lesbianism or whatever. And see, all those sins are going to take you to hell. One sin may seem worse to us than others, but all sin is damnable. And if you're not washed in the blood, you're lost. If you're not washed in the blood, you're lost. Are you hearing this man that loves you with all of his heart? If you can't feel it from me, if my voice don't betray to you that I care about your soul. So Christ was once offered unto them that look for, oh, wait a minute. So Christ was offered to bear the sin of many and unto them that look for him shall he appear. The second time. Notice those words, the second time. I like that. I got to preach on that. The second time he comes. The second time he comes. Hallelujah. He's coming that second time. Comes in the midair. We meet him, go back to heaven for 7 years. And then he gets on that white horse and goes, dips his cape in that blood at the altar. And he descends out of the heavens to set up his kingdom on this earth. You know something. We've got such a future. It's startling. It's overwhelming. If you're not part of it, I'm sorry. Now grab a phone. I got to have some calls. Tell me if you love this. Tell me if you believe this. Tell me if you know you've been washed in the blood. I want to hear some testimonies. I remember when I was washed in the blood. I was a lying, cussing, swearing, stealing kid. Man, I was horrible. And Jesus completely made me over. I mean, he picked me up and turned me around, brother, and made a new creature out of me. I've never wanted to go back to that sinful lifestyle. Thank God I never wanted to go back to it. I've never backslid in 67 years. I've been unspiritual a few times. I've been careless a few times, but I've lived for him. And it is a life that nothing else matches. Now, the lines are open, and I want you to grab your phone, 704 me, write them. Man, alive. I'm not going to write them because that wouldn't be, I'm not capable, but I'll put it in front of you, 704-391-0588. Call me, and let me hear your question. I mean, there's so much more here I got to read. I want to go to chapter 10 and talk about Hebrews chapter 10. But you got to have this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming the second time to cleanse from sin. He's coming the second time to redeem you up unto God, hallelujah, and to bring you into his eternal and wonderful presence. I can't wait for that. I'll be so glad when I'm in his presence. It will be wonderful. I don't know the words to describe it, but I'm here to tell you nothing can wash away your sins but the blood. And it's either the blood or it's hellfire. Are you hearing me? For either it's the blood or it's hellfire. Now, while I'm waiting on you to call, and I hope you will, I want to answer questions. I really like that. I know that gets everybody's attention. And somebody that has a question and they won't ask, maybe you can ask their question for both you and them. And that's what I like. I always know when I get questions that there's other people who just don't like getting on the phone and getting on the phone with this old radical preacher that still preaches the blood. There's a lot of people wouldn't want to be identified with that. And I can understand. I really can. But I want you identified with it, okay? Let's take a call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, brother. So I was wanting to ask you, Thomas,
well, I don't know why I'm getting all that cracking. Go ahead, try it again.
I was wanting to know when Thomas put up, was Christ, was Jesus in the flesh when Thomas touched his side and his hands? Well, I don't understand that.
You don't understand about Hades?
No, no. When Thomas stuck his hand in
Jesus' side.
Yes, sir. Was Jesus? I don't understand that. Can you explain that?
I want to tell you that when you see Jesus, you will see the wounds.
Yes, sir.
You will see the wounds. Now, will they always be such that you can put your hand in? I can't answer that. The Bible doesn't show any sign that that may be true, other than that one time, that one incident. See, that was a one-time thing, and we don't make a doctrine out of something like that you see one time. You just say, well, Thomas wanted to be sure, and Jesus wanted the world to know that Thomas is sure. And so it was possible that day for Thomas to stick his hand in there and feel the wound.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, will it be true in the eternity? We don't know. But we do know that when the Jews see him after he comes back to set up his kingdom, they will say, where did you get these wounds? They will ask him, where did you get these wounds? And he will answer, in the house of my friends. That's the Jewish people. In other words, it'll be a kind, gentle rebuke that it was indeed the people that's asking him this question. It was their own people who crucified him and gave him those wounds. And it will be, it's beautiful indeed. It really is. So we do know that we will see his wounds, but we don't know that they will be open, that you could actually put your fingers in. Okay?
Yes, sir. Good enough.
God bless you, my friend. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Conway, South Carolina.
You have to start that over again. I don't know where that crackling is coming from, unless somebody's trying to break in. But you go ahead, okay?
I'm calling from Conway, South Carolina.
All right. You're from Conway?
Yes.
Great.
And I just wanted to share something with you that I've always believed in Jesus. I've always, well, not always tried to live for him, but recently I got baptized, and I've still had a problem with alcohol. I just could not beat myself.
You still have trouble with alcohol?
Well, I did.
Well, see, when Jesus' blood washes you, he will cleanse that sin of alcohol, and you will not want it unless you go back and choose to want it.
Well, that's what I was trying to share with you, that I was still having struggles, but I prayed every day for him to take it away from me.
Well, see, that's what sanctification is all about, my dear sister. He wants to cleanse you from that nature of sin that you got from Adam. And most people want to get saved, and they don't want to go deeper, and they just want to live in the shadow. And so they keep being bothered by the sin that comes out of the Adamic nature. But the blood of Jesus doesn't just save you if you will proceed and go farther and dig in. You read St. John chapter 17, where Jesus says that we are to be sanctified. And he said, I sanctified myself, that you also might be sanctified. He will cleanse you from that nature, and you won't want it any longer. And I'm going to pray for that for you, okay? You go to Jesus and say, now, Father, you've saved me and forgiven me, but now I want to be cleansed from it. And you claim it by the blood, and he'll do it as sure as my name is Joseph.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you, that he spoke to me in the middle of the night one night, and he said, if you take another drink, I will take your life. And I have not wanted one since.
You've not wanted it since?
No, I have not.
I'm sorry if I bypassed and didn't catch that. So you've already been sanctified. Now you keep on and get filled with the Holy Ghost, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
That's a good testimony. This woman had got saved, and she still had trouble with the desire, but she was taking communion, and the Lord moved her heart, and she knew if she would take it that he was going to cleanse her, and she wouldn't want it no more, and it happened, and now she's free. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Hey, now that's the kind of testimony I like. That really is. And I didn't catch it. My hearing, I don't know why everything now seems to be all sometimes complicated with noise. It may be my age. I'm 83, you know. But I wouldn't quit this for nothing in the world. Somebody else grab a phone. 704-391-0588. Two wonderful calls. But we got time for probably five or six more. This is the kind of thing you need to understand. The blood of Jesus doesn't just forgive you and make you free of his condemnation. It breaks it. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. I put on the Facebook, I guess it was yesterday, you can't be washed in the blood and still live an unclean life. It is impossible. You may be tempted. Oh, yes, you'll always be tempted. As long as you live, you'll be tempted. You'll always have that Adamic nature back there in the background, kind of shut up in a cage, and it'll rattle the door and try to get out. And it's up to you to live so close to Christ and so clearly under this blood that you can defeat the devil every time he shows up. I've been saved 67 years, and he still shows up. Yes, the old man inside rattles the cage, and I say, shut up in there. I'm not going to yield to your desire to rule my life again. I belong to Jesus, and the blood keeps me clean. The blood keeps me living holy. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I love it. I love it. Let me read it to you while somebody's called. And grab the phone now. Grab the phone. And truly, I'm sorry, that's not the right verse. Let me get it right here. Here it is, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus. See, you pray every time you pray by the blood. If you don't pray by the blood, you're wasting your breath. When you pray by the blood. You enter by the blood. The blood alone is your doorway into prayer. The blood alone is your doorway into prayer. And say it and fill your mind with it so that you know that you don't pray by your own weight and power. You pray by the blood. Don't tell him how good you've been. He knows how good you've been or how rotten you've been, either one. But I tell you right now, it's by the blood that you enter in. By the blood, by the blood. So listen, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So he offered his flesh on that altar, beaten, smitten. His vestige was so altered. I mean, it was a horrible thing, but all the time that vestige was being altered with beating and all the whips and then the nails and the hammers and all the lashings, all the time virtue was flowing from his flesh. Hallelujah. That sanctified flesh flowing like a river. And it's still flowing right now. Right now, the virtue of his wounds is available. And all you got to do is go by his blood to the sanctifying cross. And having a high priest over the house of God. See, he's over the house of God in heaven where the blood's on the altar. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart. Do you hear that, true heart? And if you're up and down and in and out, you don't have a true heart. If you're just always up and you can get mad and get all out of whack and act in all kinds of ways, something's wrong. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Listen, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled with blood now from an evil conscience. And he goes on to say, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the pure water of the word. Now, folks, I'm telling you, what I've shared with you today is so marvelous. It's so incredible. I mean, these are wonderful truths that changes people's lives. Now, got 5 minutes, so grab a phone and let me hear from you. And I want you to understand that I am doing my best now on Open Bible Dialogue to get down to practical things and to really deal with practical truths. I don't know how long I'll be here. I know no day that he may take me. I think I'll know well in advance. I think I'll know surely that it's the time is drawing nigh. I don't think he'll just jerk me out of here. And I'm not looking for no accident. I got angels all around me. I wouldn't dare get in my car if I didn't have angels. I went home. I went home one day this week, and I have a nice bed, and it does all these things and goes way up in the air, both ends of it. And I went home, and my bed was folded up from both ends, just like this. I said, "Oh, who's been here in my bedroom?" Well, the doors was locked, and I find no evidence nobody had been in there. I think somebody had one of these devices, you know, electronic devices with a certain code in it, and it may have been that somebody had a code that matched my bed. And so wherever they were, I don't know how and why and what happened, but they may have raised my bed up both ends. It was like it's sitting there like a V. The pillows is folded over in the middle. I said, "Well, what in the world?" And then I said? I said, "The angels have been playing games on me." You know, I was just messing, of course. The angels have been playing games on me. I think it was somebody with a device that fit the same code that's in my bed codes. Well, who knows? Now, I'm not going to worry about it because I got angels. I lock my house sometimes. Sometimes I don't. But it doesn't matter. I would warn anybody that if you want to encounter some very strong angels, mess around my place or me, because I belong to God. I'm telling you, I belong to God. If I couldn't say that, I wouldn't dare do the things I do. I wouldn't say the things I say if I didn't belong to God. I'm absolutely his with all I got, and I don't deserve a bit of it. All I deserve, really, myself, is hell. But I don't have to go there because the blood has washed me, and the blood has made me his, and I'm going to serve him until I die. I'm committed. I'm committed to blessing you, to bring you these great truths that I hope will change your life. Now, please share this with people. You do know you can share it right on an hour later when it's archived. You can share it, and I want you to, because nothing but the blood are hellfire forever. hellfire. Can you imagine going to the lake of fire and knowing you're going to be there for eternity? Remember the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus told the story? The rich man died and woke up in hell. The beggar died and angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. I mean, the story is beautiful. And the man in hell wants Abraham to come, wants the beggar to come and put some water on his tongue because he's tormented in these flames. He said, I don't believe in hell. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in hell fire, you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe the Bible. And I warn you, don't you deny that Bible. Because if you deny the Bible, he'll deny you. I promise you, he'll deny you. You can't get into heaven if you don't believe the Bible. Very simple. Very simple. And you got to have the application of the blood. You got to be washed in the blood, my friends. Please turn to Christ. I plead the blood right now for you and with you. I cry out to my whole audience, turn to Jesus. Don't play games any longer. Don't think you're enjoying a filthy world. It's nothing but a game. It's in your mind. It's not. You don't enjoy sin. There's no way to enjoy sin. It may be a pleasure for a moment, but you got to keep having it or you lose it. And the next morning you wake up with a headache and a bellyache and a backache and all of you in disarray and your wife's mad and your husband's mad. And I mean, it's a crazy world when you live in sin. I don't want it. I thank God for my Juanita I had. Are you going to marry again if I find a great widow who's a godly woman who lives a pure, clean life and wants to get in the middle of the kingdom work with me? Yeah, I may would. But that's up to God. Not if he doesn't will it and not if he doesn't prepare it. I ain't going out there looking. I'll tell you right now. God help us to understand we got to serve God. The hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I'm here to tell you, the coming of the Lord is at the door. And you can have this wonderful life, this wonderful joy. There is nothing like it. There's nothing near it. I promise you, there's nothing near it. There's nothing as wonderful as this life. And I want you to have it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to know the King. I want you to know the Redeemer. And I know I got to go here, but I want you to know I love you, friend. And I'll take one more call. I'll have a minute here. I would be glad to have one more call. And you can call and get this article, by the way. Call Our Lady, a wonderful, wonderful saint of this church in there answering the phone. You can have this article. You know we give them away every week. So if you don't call and get it, it's not my fault. It will be on the Internet, not on Facebook, but on the Internet. Call now, right now, and send this. Go to your Facebook, all of my Facebook friends, and mash that send button, okay? Right now, mash it. And they'll get the whole thing, see? They won't just get this little bit. It'll be archived. They'll get all of it, okay? You do understand that. You do understand that. Now, I love you. It's been a joy being with you. The time is running out on me here. I'm trying to see what time I got. I have to watch it like a, you know, be careful. I want to do the right thing for you. I love you. I really do. You are wonderful. I love all my dear friends. I thank God for you. We're here to serve you, to bless you. So call us if you want material.
He holds the future.
Listen, listen.
And Christ. Life is worth the living just
yes.
Because. then one day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'll cross that river.
I'm gonna cross that river.
I'll fight life's fight.
Battles are down.
Life's final war with pain.
Hallelujah. Why don't you stand and worship with that song?
Day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Gives way to victory.
Hallelujah. He's alive.
Because I know.
Hallelujah.